Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 6 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your boy Daryl Harris, also known as the Hoopster. This is essentially the NBA trade deadline week emergency recap abbreviated podcast. The reason I say abbreviated is because I don't plan to be here for the normal length that you might be accustomed to. I kind of want to rapid fire some things, but there's just so much motion, so many moves, so many shockers. This is an unprecedented trade deadline. We're living in history. We're witnessing history. And that's not up for debate. I don't think that there has ever been as eventful a trade deadline in the league's history. I believe that there's been at least 6 or 7 all-stars dealt in the past 7 days. And I think we still have time for more to be moved. It feels as if the new salary cap and second, first, third, however many there are, the aprons, it feels like it is having an immediate impact on front offices, along with, we must trace this all the way back to the Boston Celtics championship last June, because days later, I don't even think they had a parade yet. The New York Knicks, we can't forget about the aggressive moves they made. Multiple, Mikal Bridges, then going to get Karl Anthony Towns as well. And that might have been the big bang for what has been just a wild, wild transaction heavy past 6 months. The league noticing that, hey, look, to contend and compete with this Boston Celtics squad that is not going anywhere, we have no choice but to get aggressive. Philadelphia 76ers tried to get aggressive. Those are things that happened before the season began. Now that the season has progressed, we're past the halfway point of the regular season. Remember that. The sense of urgency is kicking in for these teams. Remember, I've said this multiple times in this pod. I view the season in 3 stages. There's pre-All-Star break. Pre-All-Star break, it matters. It kind of doesn't matter that much, but you can set yourself up for success, or you can set yourself up to, or you can dig a hole for yourself as a team, essentially. That's when, hey, we're trying to avoid injuries. We don't really know what we have. Let's see what we have. But by the time you get to the All-Star break, and that third of the season, essentially, that remains from the All-Star break to the playoffs, that is the second part of the season that I view. That is phase 2, where, all right, look, everything matters now. We are battling, jockeying for playoff position. We're trying to make sure that we make it. There's play-in battles and races and teams catching fire out of nowhere. We're seeing that right now with Portland. We're seeing it with Sacramento. Orlando somehow stayed afloat for 2.5 months. Again, remember, during that first phase of the season where teams are kind of in cruise control, Orlando somehow managed to remain the 4th place team in the East, going months without Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. You would expect that once they came back to the team, they would be thriving again, right? No. They got a big win tonight, a must win tonight. I wrote about it for NBA.com in the league pass game of the day. It was Sacramento and Orlando. Orlando had been entering that game. Orlando was 1-9 in their last 10. All of those games were the games that Paolo had returned and Franz had returned for. And just the opposite. So I do think they'll right the ship. They have to shake some rust off. They have to find who they are again, essentially. But we are now entering phase 2 where it matters. Teams are playing with purpose. Guys are realizing, hey, there's not that much time left in the season. I love the game. I want to hoop. Let's go hoop. New Orleans has nothing to play for, but they're taking teams to the buzzer. You know what I'm saying? So the sense of urgency is prevalent right now. It's jumping off of the page and out of the notifications that we're seeing that all of these teams realize, hey, to chase the previous champs, we got to try and meet that bar because they've got everything back. And it's not going to be easy. So we have to somehow try and get better, right? I've got some notes here. Let me start with shout outs. You see how I dove right in? Because I do, again, I want this to abbreviate it. I'm going to pack a lot of thoughts and contents into not that much time. So stick with me. But this is for the love of the game. Y'all can't say I don't love it. Y'all can't say I'm not putting in the work. I'm not watching the games. I'm not taking notes because I am. And that's where these thoughts and these opinions come from. I got shout outs off the top. Shout out to Shams Charania. I saw Shams at T-Mobile Arena during the NBA Cup final semifinals out here in Vegas at T-Mobile Arena and didn't say anything, but I saw him. Just, it's when you're in these settings from time to time, there's times to, shoot the breeze, maybe something, what's to come out of it. And then you sort of get used to it every now and then, too. And it's just like, yeah, it'll probably happen again. And that boy Shams has been working. He's been working on Talk That Talk. I said, is Shams bomb, is that a thing? We got to get him a turn because Woj bomb was a thing. But yo, I don't know if Woj ever had something like this Luka and AD trade. And in order to take notes for this pod, I couldn't even go to the NBA transaction website to list the things that are official because half of these moves aren't official yet. I had to literally go to Shams' Twitter page and scroll and see what the most recent activity actually has been. So shout out to Shams. That brother's getting to it. I thought that that sit down he had with Anthony Davis, that'll go down as one of the most bizarre interviews. It has an eerie vibe to it now because AD was expressing his desire to continue to seek championships in LA, and bro's gone in about a week after that. Shout out to Shams. I also want to give a shout out to Unrivaled, which is the new women's 3x3 league founded by Nafisa Collier and Breonna Stewart. Their season is going. I haven't been able to catch as many of those games as I wanted to, but I'm shouting them out because they have a one-on-one tournament featuring all the players that are in the league, right? It's 3-on-3, so rosters are shorter. I think there's like eight teams, maybe less, maybe more. And they're basically all competing as individuals in this one-on-one March Madness style bracket that they have going. So shout out to them for the innovation. Shout out for the creativity and the gutsiness of what they're doing. They're showing that the athletes deserve equity. They're showing that far-fetched ideas are possible. They're presenting an alternative to the WNBA's product at a time when they've got some negotiating to do. If you're just listening, know that I gave a look to the camera that said more than I could say with words, or maybe wanted to say, right? So shout out to those two. Let's get right into it. The impetus for this pod and the reason why I had to turn the light on, get the microphone, open the laptop, was that the Lakers traded for Mark Williams. Mark Williams is a 7'2"-ish center, played at Duke, highly touted recruit, has spent the last couple years in Charlotte. He has a sister in the WNBA. Shout out to Elizabeth Williams. She's a similar paint beast, has been former all-star. Mark Williams is sort of just coming into his own as a player in Charlotte, and I've been monitoring him. And monster, I've written about him this season. Monster January. Monster January. I'm talking about some games with 30 and 20, plenty of double-doubles. Watching him, you can see that he has touch around the rim, and that's some things that you can't teach. It's one to have the size and know how to maybe just rebound, maybe have some good shot blocking timing. But when you are that size and you can combine fundamentals with touch and, a baseline athleticism, you're an impactful player, legitimately. And I've been on a couple other platforms. I haven't came here to talk about the Luka and Anthony Davis trade and what Luka coming to the Lakers means. And I'm gonna boil it down in a nutshell right now. I think these guys are going to the chip. I think they're going all the way. I'm not scared of anybody. And y'all know I'm a Lakers homer. I'm a Bron homer, whatever you want to call it. If we're talking basketball, yo. All right, let's address some of the rebuttals, right? Because they did make this move. And the primary rebuttal was, okay, but they're never going to get a rebound, right? Mind you, we had just beaten the New York Knicks handily prior to the Anthony Davis trade. With Anthony Davis on the bench, we started Jackson Hayes, who was almost a non-factor in that game, and we still took care of the Knicks, right? They're a good rebounding team, right? Okay, let's disregard that. Followed that up with another convincing win over the Clippers. They've got one of the league's best rebounders, right? Again, no Mark Williams, no Anthony Davis. How are we going to rebound? How are we going to get a defense? We were up by 20 at halftime. Morale, anybody? See, looks like it's very high. Looks like I've said from the very beginning and on this pod, you can go back, that I've appreciate JJ's approach to the game as a coach. He doesn't want to tolerate the BS. He reminds me of Ime Udoka. You saw what Ime has done, and you're seeing what he's doing in Houston. He's not tolerating the BS. Those guys are showing up to play hard-nosed basketball day in and night out, and that's what they're doing. Similarly, JJ has whipped these boys into shape. And to at least we know what coaches' expectations are, right? So we made this move to address one of the primary concerns of who's our big, how we're going to rebound. So we have a big, and let me also go through the roster really quick, because if you could say now we have no depth because we've traded away Max Christie, we traded away Dalton Kennett, sent away Cam Reddish, right? We don't have depth. Is that the concern? Well, right now it's looking like their roster going forward at least will consist of LeBron, Austin Reeves, Luka Doncic, Mark Williams, Rui Hachimura, who has become a very proficient three-point shooter. And mind you, in that starting five, potential starting five, Austin Reeves is the shortest person, and he's 6'5". Again, I'm looking at the camera. Let me get to the bench. We still got Dorian Finney-Smith. We still got Vando. We still got Gabe Vincent, who I was not a big fan of. But you know what I am a fan of? Him being our eighth or ninth man. I can rock with that. Still got Shake Milton. Still got Jackson Hayes. I'm looking at the camera. Still got Bronny. I'm not gonna let y'all slander Bronny. You feel me? And guess what? This is the kicker. If we're talking about depth, right? Don't forget about the buyout market. Again, this is where some of those salary cap apron ramifications are coming back into play. Teams who were beyond the second apron aren't going to be able to add buyout players. I want to fact check some of that, but for the sake of brevity, I'm not going to do that on this podcast. But that is a thing that is in play now because of the second apron. Shipping AD in the long term is shedding some cap for the Lakers because Luka's not eligible for a supermax when it's time to renew. We already know that Austin Reeves is on a very, very team-friendly contract, right? Bron's maxed out. Luka's on the current max, right? Mark, Rui, DFS, Vando, Gabe, none of these guys are getting paid big, big, big money. So they actually have financial flexibility along with star power. That is impressive. Shout out to Rob Pelinka. Deserves a shout out, brother. We should have been familiar with the game. The Mamba wouldn't have had no slouch next to him. Come on now. So don't forget about the buyout market. I have two names that I want to suggest for the Lakers in the buyout market because I think looking at the roster, I love, love, love that we have size across the board. Again, I mentioned the starting five. Austin Reeves is the shortest player. If we're talking about the bench, we still got Vando, DFS, perimeter or slash hybrid defenders that are just going to be active, along with Jackson Hayes, who's bouncy. Shake, Gabe, we'll see whatever happens. I think we should address that backcourt bench spot. I got two names, Lonnie Walker or Markelle Fultz. Those are my two suggestions, right? And we'll see what else happens. But get those two guys back in purple and gold, or get Lonnie potentially back in purple and gold. Go maybe see if Markelle Fultz is in shape and ready to go. I like the idea. It's intriguing to me, right? Again, I'm waiting for the, concerns. If it's you think we can't play defense, well, guess what? This team can play slow. If they can slow the tempo down, that means that every possession matters. And if you're playing a half court defense where everybody essentially is 6'6", 7" and up, the driving lanes, the passing lanes, they're a little bit difficult. Oh, wait, you're saying Luka can't defend? Okay, that's fine. That's cool. If your plan is to abuse Luka, I think that we're eventually going to figure that out. But the kicker and the most impactful part of Luka joining LA, to where I'm not worried about what Luka's deficiencies are, is that he has to defer to LeBron in a judgment, in a guidance, leadership capacity, right? He's never had a teammate nearly as talented as him. Maybe that's a slight to Kyrie Irving. I don't mean that to be a slight, but still it's levels. And Luka's at a different level. We saw that in the finals. Okay. This is what matters right now, is the postseason. How it might look in the postseason. Kyrie wasn't dancing on Boston whatsoever, right? Luka now has a teammate that he has to have the utmost respect for. Grew up watching LeBron, now has a chance to call him a peer, a teammate, and absorb as much as he can to make himself even greater in the long run. That means you got to buy in, big dog. You got to buy in the weight room, in the gym, on the defensive side of the ball, during film, all of that, because we know that LeBron is, if anything, a student of the game. So if he can relay some pointers and some IQ, positioning, savviness to Luka, who is already a dog, and Luka's got some real feisty energy to him. Stop it, man. Stop it. I'm gonna rest my case right there with my satisfaction with the Lakers roster at the moment. And I think they're going all the way. I think they're going all the way. I think we're getting Lakers Boston in June. That's my prediction right now. The Western Conference, I have another theory where it takes, a couple stabs to get there. And there's a lot of teams in the West that are trying to get there for the first time, except for Denver. This incarnation of Golden State is trying something with new pieces that we haven't gotten to. We're going to breeze through some of these other transactions momentarily. OKC would love to, and OKC is going to be a very, very, very tough competition. However, I would like to reference that NBA Cup final back in December. Oklahoma City versus Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee slightly ran them off the court. Why is that relevant? Because Milwaukee is a team with championship history. Giannis knows what it means to perform at the highest level in the NBA and what playoff defense looks like, what playoff energy looks like, what 40 plus minutes in a meaningful game looks like. If one player gets it on a roster, which I don't doubt that Shea does. I don't doubt that J Dub does. I don't doubt that Dagnall. I don't think he's chopped liver. But that's got to sink in with everybody to realize that it is a marathon and a different beast once we get past the regular season. So I think that Boston's gonna, that they're well equipped to go back. I think LA is well equipped to go back. If you want to say it's scripted, cool. I don't care. I think that's what's going to happen. I think it'll be to the league's benefit tremendously. And I think that they heard all of y'all chirping, right? They heard y'all chirping. Not a lot of people ran to the defensive basketball. Which is why I titled the first episode of this season The Rebuttal, because everybody wanted to say what was wrong with the game. And I said, I don't believe you're watching because there's too much talent and there's too much good basketball on display to have to complain about the same tired complaints. I watch it and consume a lot. So I'm speaking with perspective, right? So the NBA heard some of that chit chat, right? If you want to say it's scripted, cool. Again, don't care. However, what is everybody talking about right now? Not even the Super Bowl. Let that sink in, fellas. Basketball's back, all right? And don't forget why it captivates the league and it captivates social media, the country, and beyond internationally. It's because the NBA has drama, baby. We're the most familiar with these athletes. They can't hide behind helmets. Not that the NFL players are hiding, but physically and literally, we are the most familiar with this roster pool. It's smaller than football, it's smaller than baseball, it's tight-knit. So don't forget why basketball is like that, all right? We're being reminded. Now, let me breeze through some of these other trades real quick and give you some quick thoughts. And honestly, I got a who's hooping for you, and we're going to get out of here, right? Brandon Ingram's going to Toronto. They gave up Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, and some picks. What's most interesting about this is that New Orleans has now traded all of the pieces, or players rather, that they acquired for Anthony Davis. I'm looking at the camera. Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, all on new teams. And they've got essentially CJ McCollum, DeJounte Murray out with an Achilles, get well soon, man. Hoping for the best. It's a marathon. Herb Jones and some knickknacks to show for it. And that's what it's what unproven leadership looks like, man. I don't know what to say about that exactly. More than that, Ingram in Toronto, neat. I like your starting five. If everybody were healthy, quickly, RJ, Scottie Barnes, Ingram, Jakob Poeltl. But we'll see y'all next year. Not that relevant right now. Jimmy Butler going to Golden State. Wow. I've got some Miami aficionados, some Heat culture representatives, if you will, that I would like to hear from more than give my own thoughts on the matter. I think that the extension that he signed is just frankly too much. 2 years, 161 for Jimmy Butler. 2 years, 121, pardon me. 60 mil a year on average for Jimmy at age 34, 35, pushing 36. I'm looking at the camera. I don't know. It's cool. We'll see. I do not know how him and Draymond are going to coexist. I'm looking forward to some headlines, I suppose, but they had to sacrifice Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, who they flipped for and was not working in the month or so that he played in Golden State. Wasn't working. Wiggins hasn't recaptured the aura from 2021 whatsoever. And, some pick considerations. I think Lindy Waters as well. Also, Dennis Schroeder is also already somewhere else. That somehow he ended up in Utah. I don't know how that makes any sense because Utah has all the guards in the world. Colin Sexton, Keontae George, Isaiah Collier, Jordan Clarkson. I don't know why Dennis Schroeder needs to be on that roster either. So I expect maybe something to happen there. Maybe even a buyout potentially. So yeah, we'll see. I don't know about Jimmy over there. At the end of the day, not really scared, but we'll see. We shall see. Kuminga come back eventually. I don't know. Kyle Kuzma's on the Milwaukee Bucks in exchange for Chris Middleton. AJ Johnson dipped, and Milwaukee's also receiving Patrick Baldwin. And there's like some minor pick considerations. What was interesting to me about this is that this was essentially Kuzma for Middleton straight up. And are they equals in the NBA now? I guess another one of those cold hard reminders of the NBA being a business. Middleton helped his team to a championship, was pivotal against Phoenix in that NBA Finals. Followed that up with a gold medal run weeks later. But he also had bilateral ankle surgery, guys. He had surgery on both ankles in the offseason. They reduced him to a six man this year after he was finally able to play. And it just ain't the same. So I think Kuz packed his bags so fast to get out of Washington. He said, "Yo, Jordan Poole, I'm gonna hit you, bro." It makes Milwaukee better. I still consider Milwaukee a threat in the East. I do, 100%. Reference that NBA Cup final and reference it being year two of the Dame Giannis partnership. They are also the highest scoring duo in the NBA at a combined pushing 60 points a game, right? So I think 57 or so is the number, more than any other pair of teammates in the NBA. So you're gonna have to deal with that. Caleb Martin's on the Dallas Mavericks now. He was flipped for Cameron for Quentin Grimes. Shout out to Caleb Martin, University of Nevada, Reno product. Saw him at my first game attending at UNLV, the Martin Twins versus UNLV at the time. And I was like, yo, them boys hooping. So I've always been fans of theirs just from the outside. I'm glad that they made it, you know. Shout out to the Mountain West. I actually think, and you know, he had a good playoff showing. He's had some moments, dare I say. But I think that Quentin Grimes in Philly is, I don't know. I was going to say that it was kind of what they need to alleviate some of what Maxey's doing. Maxey's been going one versus the world recently, but Joel Embiid is back at the moment. But they've also got, you know, the Eric Gordons and the Kyle Lowrys and the Reggie Jacksons, and I don't know what's happening in Philly. I don't think that Quentin Grimes is going to put the fire out himself either. De'Aaron Fox and Zach LaVine both made their debuts tonight for their new teams. De'Aaron Fox had a great stat line in a narrow win over somebody. I'm not going to pull it up at this point. It was like a 1-point victory, though, tonight that they had where him, Wembanyama, were both 20-point scorers. Chris Paul had 9 assists. De'Aaron Fox had maybe double-digit assists. And it's potent, man. What I said on Talk That Talk was, I don't want to push Wemby to the perimeter, but imagine he's on the perimeter. So who the heck is staying in front of De'Aaron Fox at the rim? It's basketball geometry that makes a lot of sense, right? And so we shouldn't be surprised that they're going to flirt with success. The only downside to that is that I think it marginalizes Stephon Castle for the rest of the season, who is demonstrating a lot of growth right now, and that's going to have to take a back seat. But huge for San Antonio that they have surrounded Wembanyama with veterans, all-star caliber players, and young all-rookie contenders in a year. So they'll be in the chase for a play-in spot. We'll see how that goes. Zach LaVine, however, was not that great in his first game tonight for Sacramento. And Sacramento lost to Orlando 130 to 118. Didn't love the move for Sacramento. Didn't. I think it was a lateral move, meaning that they didn't get better, in my opinion. We've seen LaVine and DeRozan. I think there's overlap there. They also made a trade, and I believe went and got a center today. And that is notable. They went and got Valanciunas from the Wizards. So that allows Sabonis to not have to work as hard as he's working on a night-to-night basis. So they've got good players over there. They've got a bunch of good players, and Doug Christie has these boys looking revamped. So again, they're in the play-in hunt at the moment. We'll see how where it goes from there. I've got two game of the day articles that went up this week on NBA.com. Again, previewing that Magic Kings game tonight, where I noted that Franz Wagner has scored 20 plus in every game since his return. Tonight, he had more than 30. That's a fantastic sign that coming off of the oblique injury, he is still fully in stride with getting his buckets. So, as the rest of his muscle memory returns, I think that that's great for that team. And they got the win tonight. The other one was a couple of days ago. It was Bucks and Thunder, except Milwaukee benched everybody day of. But I noted that Shea is on 50-point watch essentially every game now. And what's interesting is he has 50 on three consecutive Wednesdays. Before the last 3 weeks, he had 0 50-point games in his career, and he's realizing now that I'm untouchable just about in this league, this season, right now, right here. Nobody has answers. So he realizes that, and he's acting on it, and he's going to will this team to, in my opinion, the conference finals at least, depending on if they got to face the Lakers in round two or not. You feel me? Last but not least, folks. Oh, and on the topic of my .com activity, I will be on the live blog this Friday. So if you want to follow along with some action, see some highlights, some real-time analysis as all of the games unfold, your boy D Hoopster has you covered. Just go to NBA.com. It's called the Nightly Pulse. It is a nice expression for me. So tune in over there and watch the games. You know what I'm saying? And last but not least, who's hooping? Yeah, I thought we weren't gonna get who's hooping in here. I said we would. We are. I got one for you. And I think he is the unsung hero of the Shooter Shoot fantasy basketball squad, which is your boy's team that is continues to kill it. I've been talking about them all season, and Dyson Daniels was one of my first waiver wire ads. I think maybe two games into the season, and I haven't let him go because I saw that this brother was being given the opportunity to share the court in the starting backcourt. He compliments Trae Young in almost every way, whereas Young is a defensive liability. Dyson Daniels is the polar opposite. He's contending for Defensive Player of the Year. He averages three steals a game. He leads the NBA in deflections per game and total for the season. He guards the best players night in and night out. And it's not just the defensive end. I'm saying he's getting this who's hooping shout out because the well-rounded game is coming into focus as well. Jalen Johnson went down for the season, which sucks for Atlanta. And I got to give a shout out to Big O as well. He's been hooping. I got Onyeka Okongwu. Shout out to Chino Hills. I got him on the squad as well. Shout out to USC. But Dyson's developed, man. He's developed into a confident NBA starter. And that's not what people forecasted when he was essentially a throw-in in the DeJounte Murray trade. He's made New Orleans probably sick. I don't like that he said the cursed comment about New Orleans. But speak your mind, young fella, and continue to do you over there, man. If you want me to throw some numbers, I'll do that really quick for who's hooping sake. But that brother's been getting to it. He's a double-double threat now with rebounding. He's an improved scorer. He's got a darn good floater to him. I will tell you that much. I've been watching that. Over the last 30 days, he's averaging 16 points, 6.5 rebounds, 4.6 assists. Again, pushing three steals, almost a block as well. While also shooting more than 50% from the field and making a three-pointer per game. That is a five-tool player. He can be a ball handler. He can be a menace defensively. He can distribute. He's athletic. and he's shooting it from range. Shout out to Dyson Daniels, man. As always, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Whether you're watching this, listening to it, however, whatever platform it may be, make sure that you are dialed in. Make sure that you are subscribed, because we have a runway from here to the end of the season that I think is going to be special. And you got to keep it here for some real talk and some real opinions and some real appreciation of the game, you feel me? So y'all are valued. Make sure you do your homework and leave this show a review. It helps out tremendously, truly. Helps out in the algorithms. It helps this platform grow. I'm going to continue to invest in this platform and speak life and bless this and hope that it pours back into me as well. But it's about the effort. It's about the work. And we're putting the work in. And like I said, we love basketball. We think it's great. I got some Royal Rumble opinions we got to talk about. We got WrestleMania fantasy booking to talk about. I met Rey Mysterio today. Shout out to Rey Mysterio. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back shortly. Love y'all. Be easy. Till next time.